Thank you very much, Wes Tuttle. Well, there'll be many who didn't set their clock. That happens. I've experienced that for over 30 years in the ministry. And we change the clocks one way or the other. They either get here early and have to go have coffee or breakfast, or get here late and we have to move on. Let's begin this morning, first of all, with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to orient us to why we're here and what we're here for, and to worship God. So let's begin with a word of prayer. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the magnificence of your creation, the genius, Heavenly Father, of your restoration of the earth, setting everything ready for the spiritual warfare as far as mankind is concerned. The heavens declare your glory. The earth, your grace and your compassion, your love, your thoughtfulness of all of our needs. Your salvation, Heavenly Father, that gives us the confidence, hope, assurance of eternal life, that we might enjoy the things that you've given to us on earth, from the things of the earth to husbands and wives, friends, family, church. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done, all that you're doing. Part of that praise, Heavenly Father, is this morning to praise you in worship, in song, in prayer, in giving, in opening of scriptures. We pray that all that we do will be in the power of your Spirit, therefore glorifying to your Son. In whose precious name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with a song.
Hello, would you all please stand and join us in singing song number 344, I Know Whom I Have Believed, 344.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about Harold Simonson. Went to see Harold. The operation was a wonderful success. He's just weak. His body's trying to handle the operation. He's not feeling real good, but I saw him the night of the operation, and that probably wasn't a good time to be there, even though got him to smile, and he's doing much better now. Did you have the card? After we have our study, and then I have communion, and then when we're eating, I'm going to put this card maybe right here. I'll clear this off, and if you'll sign this card to Harold, and you don't just sign your name. If you want, just say, thinking of you, praying for you, get back, or Lila's doing all the work at home, help her, or something, anything you want, feel free to do so, but please do sign it, and I'll take that over to Harold tomorrow morning, so please bear that in mind. Learned a lot about the family and Harold that I didn't know. It's one of the handicaps, I guess, sometimes you... It's not been those, just I didn't know things, and it sure was nice to just learn. I met their daughter, who just looks just like Lila. So just continue to be in prayer for Harold, and told him we miss him, to get back here. Vic Edwards, a member in Wichita Falls, request your prayers for he and his family, so continue to be in prayer for Vic and Cindy Edwards. Talk to Ian. Now, Carol's here with us this morning, and their son, Mark, Paul. Couple of things. First of all, Carol, I don't know if Jim forgot to set his clock, because it's not like him to miss being here, so he must not have set his clock. I should have called him. But last Sunday, we took a special offering for this missionary journey, and as I understand, it was over $2,200. So I thank y'all very much for that. If Jim comes straggling in, or if not, we'll mail it and get it to you. Will you be able to be there in Hot Springs? And this coming weekend, I'm going to be in Hot Springs this weekend, this Thursday, Friday. Either we'll mail it to you. Okay. Talk to Ian. Let me give you an update on things going on with Ian. First of all, it's hard to calculate, but probably some 1,800 soldiers have accepted Christ as Savior by faith only and by faith alone. And he's just half through. Definitely on a one-to-one basis, a colonel has accepted Christ as Savior. And we're talking about from Roman Catholicism to understanding the truth of the gospel. He is in the midst right now of witnessing to a 5-star general, their highest ranking general of the army. So we'll be in prayer for him. Now, I want to be in prayer for the continual spreading of the gospel by Ian, but he is also, it seems like every trip, but this time he's suffering illness again. This time either a flu or some kind of sickness like that. And he's getting close to reminding me of Paul. Paul was always getting sick. In fact, that's why we have the book of Galatians. It's because Paul got very sick and had to stay. He didn't plan on ministering in that area, in the Galatia area. He planned on going on over to Rome, but he got sick, and as God would have it, was able to give them the gospel and form many of the churches that the book of Galatians is written to, the letter to those people. So we need to be in prayer for Ian's health, and that God will just touch him, give him enough strength and the mental, emotional, and spiritual stability to continue the ministry, communicating the gospel to Honduras. Carol, y'all are planning on going where next? Wow, okay. In Guatemala. Okay, so we need to be in prayer in that respect. Yesterday, I had an interesting experience. Went over to Glenrose. Went to the Creation Museum there. I don't know if any of you ever been there. You've been there. As I understand it now, I didn't know all of this, but the first Saturday of each month, Dr. Ball, who is world-renowned, either he or someone of his equal, speaks. And it is really, really informative, challenging, just it's well worth your while in dealing with. What they deal with primarily is the battle between creation and evolution. And I know that you have the maturity to be able to, and the understanding to be able to not let certain things bother you. For an example, they believe that that Genesis 1 is the original creation. Not so. There was a battle, prehistoric battle, that preceded it and a lot of things. However, having said that, we can look at the restoration as an original creation of the things, the fish, the man and the animals and different things. So, dealing with that battle, for young children, for people that have that battle, this is a wonderful place. They have all kinds of exhibits and just different things you can buy. Of course, I bought some things for our children's class in regard to being familiar with a lot of things of creation and handling the evolutionary problems and what a very logical scientific answer. Dr. Ball started out as an unbeliever studying all these things and became a believer through this. His primary message, of course, is to Christians in understanding the battle, but he can take an unbelieving scientist right through all of the issues also. He's of that caliber. And in fact, yesterday there were a couple of very impressive people, very impressive positions that were there attending the meeting. I get there early and I was just sitting there reading or something, and he came up, and so I got a chance to talk with him personally before the big crowd came in. We had a good talk. Every Tuesday night at 6, they're on television. Now, I don't know the channel. I'm going to have to find it out myself. But if you just want to get an idea of what his ministry is about and what he has to say, but he dealt with one of his things, Wes, was in respect of Henry Morris. Now, Henry Morris, I do know Morris. Morris and Whitcomb, I used to study, many years ago. I guess all their books, because I'm sure he's put out some since I did. But at that time, all his books on creation and evolution, Henry Morris was a great bulwark in that battle at that time. And Henry Morris just died. I didn't know that, but Henry Morris had just died, gone on to be with the Lord, and they were very close. Dr. Ball here in Glen Rose and Henry Morris, but it was in respect to him, the creation and music. Went through a passage in Job, and of course, I went, oh, well, all right, I'll listen. There's a passage in Job 37 where God says, "Where in that part, God goes through with Job, where were you when I did this? Were you there when I did that?" And one of the phrases is dealing with when the morning stars make music. That he dealt with that. They've got so many scientific records, not Christians, just scientific records, that the various galaxies and stars put out electronic sound waves and things that doesn't make a sound of a music. And it really is interesting. He pointed out different things that you and I both know right now. If you are in certain, I think there are 3 areas in the world right now where the sand is so pure, no dirt in the sand. And if you're there just, and the wind's blowing, it makes a whistle, and I've heard that. Bing Crosby had a song, The Whispering, The Musical Sands, or something like that. It was just really interesting, and I encourage you to add to the dimension of your spiritual understanding. Maybe watch it on Tuesday evening. I haven't yet, so I'm giving you something that I have not watched, but I certainly was impressed with the one time of listening to Dr. Ball. And being there and meeting some of his staff. Of course, going out there is quite a trip for children, young kids, to just go out there and see it and be a part of all that's going on that he's doing. It's not that big of a deal. I don't want to over-dramatize it, but it's well worth the journey to go to see it. So if you have time to just view everything that is there. Down the road, I didn't go to it, but down the road was a fossil place that you could go, I guess some kind of fossil thing there, and then they have a live kingdom there, so apparently a lot of things to do in one day's journey if you wanted to do that. But they have some kind of seminar the first Saturday of every month there, and generally they do 2 sessions if you wanted to go. One is early in the morning, and then one's in the afternoon. Guess which one I went to? So it's well worth your time and effort to think about and to tune into that. Any prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay, just yes.
I have a Christian teacher friend named Phyllis. She talks with a lot of about Christ. She's a struggling Christian. She has been going through, and she
okay? Let's be in prayer for Phyllis, whatever journey she's on at this time, whatever, wherever God has taken her, let's do be in prayer. How's your aunt in Oklahoma?
They're recovering.
They're recovering.
Yes, I don't know if Leonard has had surgery yet or not.
Okay. Good. Good. Just be in prayer for each other. We are all in the spiritual warfare, and we understand that. Try to walk by faith in the Spirit. You're going to enter into a different phase of the battle. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, gracious giver. What is that? First of all, be a believer in Jesus Christ. But people, that's not it. The real issue is being led of the Holy Spirit. That's the great issue. Paul says, if I give everything that I own, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, and what's love? Fruit of the Spirit, it profiteth nothing. So let's take a moment to prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Once again, Heavenly Father, we enter into the facet of worship of the offertory. Once again, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that come together for this worship, the political, economic freedom of this country. That is, the freedom to do with our lives, our resources, our time, as we see fit, to marry, to live, to go whatever church. All the decisions that we make, we are so thankful for the political, economic freedom of this country. It's so easy, Heavenly Father, for us to get so upset and to rant and rave of all the faults. But there's still time to do something about it spiritually, because we still enjoy these freedoms. We are so thankful for the men and women who have provided it throughout our nation's history, from the very foundation of our forefathers to this very hour. We're thankful for them. But Heavenly Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. It is in this realm of freedom, Father, that give us the eyes to see what to do with our time, our money, whom to marry and why, where to worship and why. Why we do the things we do day in and day out. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We praise your Spirit will continue to lead us in the use of this freedom. And we're most grateful for the death, the resurrection of Christ in providing this freedom. And we pray now, Father, that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and you will continue to use this humble assembly and spreading the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand just once more to sing 354, song 354, Near to the Heart of God.
Near to the heart of God.
Wes, it is so great having you back on Sunday and playing through, and it goes out on the internet, and there are a lot of people happy. And Tuesday and Wednesday, it's so great. So appreciate it very much. Got bad news. For two Sundays in a row, we have not gotten a recording of Sunday morning. I don't know why. Jim Passmore, those of you who know him, he just goes, the old colonel instinct from the military, goes, well, somebody's not getting the message. Would you hurry up and get it so we can move on? And I'm not going to spend a great deal of time, but I do just will read through, make a comment, and get to where we left off last Sunday morning at this point. Then we will have our communion. So, Wes, do we know we're getting it now? Where'd Wes go? Oh, here it is. Do we know we're getting it now? Just for fun, do we know? They won't know till afterward. We're getting it. Okay. All right. That'll be good. It'd be nice to have it the third Sunday. Okay. All right. 2 April, Sunday morning. Let's open the scriptures, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to orient ourselves as to where we are, what we're here for, whom we're trusting to teach us what's going on in the text. Let's pray. The drama that is before us, Heavenly Father, penetrates so much of history. What an intriguing drama. Not an ordinary dinner, but the last Passover and the first communion. Not an ordinary night. So much is going on outside of this room, in the upper room, with the religious crowd and the Jews, and Judas in a few moments will leave the upper room and betray the turmoil among the Romans, the intrigue of the angelic realm. There's just so much going on, so much drama, so many things that are so important for us to grasp. The thoughts of Jesus Christ a few hours before he's crucified, what's important to him. What's on his mind? What are the words that come from him that we have recorded? I pray your Spirit will take us now into this drama, the text before us. Open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see and understand and bear fruit in our souls. Pray your Spirit will be the teacher this morning and not me. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Everything that could disappoint and challenge love has been thrown at Jesus Christ. But it has not changed his love and will not change his love, cannot change his love. We have seen that love can be measured, and here you have the measurement of His love. He loved to the end. That is the point of His love. Jesus Christ knew Judas was going to betray, but it did not weaken or cause His love to grow cold. Most people's love would have grown cold. The love of many men, many women toward each other would have grown cold by now. The love of many people would have grown cold. But the love that the Holy Spirit gives us does not grow cold. And no matter how it's beaten up, no matter what's thrown at it, it does not grow cold. He knew that very shortly Peter would deny Him. He knew that. And yet His love for Peter did not grow cold. He knew Thomas, sitting at this table, would doubt. Yet His love does not grow cold. Even when you stop loving Him, His love does not grow cold. His love does not stop. He does not stop loving you. We have noted the brief statement of His love. He loved to the end. And it's a powerful statement, but we have to move on from that point. He now demonstrates His love. One, we could say, by not reacting to everything that's going on, because we like to react. We react to what people do, what people say, what we think they do, what we think they say, what we think they mean, what we think's going to happen, what did happen. We like to react. One of the great demonstrations of His love is that this night, He doesn't react to any of this. He's going to get up and wash their feet. Knowing that Peter's going to deny, washes His feet. Thomas, all of them. He's going to wash their feet. He's going to demonstrate His love in another way. He's going to teach. He's going to teach pertinent doctrine. All they've had up to this point is all of the Old Testament, 3 years of hearing what Jesus Christ had to say. They're getting ready to go into a period of history we call the church. None of that Old Testament law and all of those things is going to apply. It's not going to apply anymore. They're going to live in a new time. It's no longer walking by sight, but by faith. Getting ready to see friendship. We're going to be doing a lot of study on friendship. We took a little bit of it in Job. We'll take some of it in our study here. Because what we're getting ready to move to is John 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You don't tell servants things. Tell them what to do, but you don't tell them things. But a friend, you let them know what's going on. Now we move to verse 2. During the supper, the Paschal supper, the Passover, there are a number of things that are going to occur. The washing of the feet, the removal of the betraying friend, teaching, centering on the love of Christ. So many things are going on. During last Passover, first supper, and we saw what a contrast we have between verses 1 and 2. Contrast in persons, from Savior to Satan, from love to betrayal. Verse 2 also teaches a very important principle about life, opposition. Opposition to the love of God. Not just opposition to God, opposition to the love of God. And when you walk in the power of the Spirit, and you demonstrate that love, there will be opposition. You can count on it. You would think, well, if you're doing the love thing, it'd make everybody happy. No. A lot of times, people are not happy. It causes opposition. During the supper, the devil. This gave us an introduction to the character behind the scene all the way through this, and that's Satan. We're seeing that in Job, a lot of people say, well, Satan's not really in Job after chapter 2. People got to realize chapter 1 and 2 lay the whole groundwork to show you that he's behind the scenes all the way through. So here we have the devil given his proper place as far as being seen as working behind the scenes of everything that's going to happen. In Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, it was just so good because he had the Satan figure. Sometimes he would be behind the Jews with a black cloak, you remember? And then sometimes he would be behind the Romans. What a ingenious way. Not saying anything really, not doing, just there. What an ingenious way to show he's orchestrating. He's the choreographer. He's making sure everybody dances the way he wants them to dance right now. Getting everything set up to crucify this Jesus. we have enemies, and we saw in Matthew, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household, those very close, opposing. And then we spend some time on Satan. We don't have time to go through all of those things. I will say this, one of his primary objectives, as far as mankind is concerned, is to get people to believe he doesn't exist. And many people don't believe he exists. People, just because you don't believe he exists doesn't mean he doesn't. I don't believe that, therefore it isn't true. No, I'm afraid it doesn't work that way. That's one of his great schemes, is to try to get us to believe he does not exist. We looked here at his name being used here, devil, diabolos, slanderer. Therefore, every time you slander a believer, you're doing the work of the devil. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Now, the Greek tells us that Satan had already worked in Judas before this evening's supper. Warning. And maybe this is what somebody's not getting, because to me this has been a momentum of what we've been studying. People, you carry an attitude, a thought in your mind, back here, something will happen to give you the opportunity to act, to tear somebody down, to judge them, to attack them. You just carry it for a while. You carry that attitude around for a while. You're going to have the opportunity. You just foster it. You'll have that opportunity. So what we need to learn to do is to nip it in the bud at the very beginning when you start sensing that attitude about your husband, about your wife, the church, friend, work, whatever it is. But somewhere along the line, Judas had already started resenting this Jesus, become jealous of him, resenting the crowd, resenting what he's doing maybe to Judah, and to Jerusalem, and to the nation of Israel. Maybe he, like the high priest Caiaphas, is sensing that Rome is going to do something to Israel. We're not told a lot about what's going on in his soul. All we know is he resented this Jesus, and he's going to have the opportunity for the final betrayal. Put into his heart, traitors have a heart. And we spent some time last week on studying the heart of Judas. We don't have it on tape or anything, but very quickly, he's an unbeliever. His is the heart of an unbeliever, which means that Satan can indwell him because he has the heart of the unbeliever. The condition of his heart, negative, rejecting Christ, he's reached the point of chapter 12, hardening of the heart. Hardening of the heart as far as this Christ is concerned. You will recall that the heart is the real you. That's the real you. The real you is not your bank account. The real you is not your physical beauty. The real you is not the car you drive. The real you is not what you wear. Real you is not how you look. The real you is in your heart. That's the real person. Many, many a lady have married a fast car or a big pocketbook only to be miserable. Many a man have married a beautiful body only to realize later, oh, that body comes with a soul. And boy, look at this one. It's what's in the soul. That's the real person that we are. The devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Now, this is where we left off, so let's start here. To betray him. Aorist active subjunctive. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. He will go through with the betrayal. Paradidomi. Paradidomi means to throw over, to turn over, to betray. Conspiracy to get rid of Jesus has already been going on for some time in the soul of Judas. People, this is the facts of history all the way back. When did Eve sin? People, what was in her soul came long before she actually partook of the forbidden tree. Long before. It had been going on. It wasn't just an all of a sudden idea. She was in communication with the serpent of old. She was in communication. The thoughts were already being fostered in her soul. This always happens all through history. Rarely are things just like that. They do happen that way. But we can go from the woman to Judas. The scene has been set. This has been going on. Let's know three things. One, Satan decided to get rid of Jesus at the birth of Jesus, to try to kill him. Herod's decree to murder all the babies, Satan's first attempt here. Secondly, the Sanhedrin, the religious political leaders, decided in chapter 11, verse 49. Chapter 11, verse 49, let me just read it for you. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest this year, said to them, "You know nothing at all." Setting up the whole scene, we got to get rid of this man, Jesus. But we can even go further back than that, how they were ready to kill him. This has been going on. Got to get rid of him. Point three. One final missing link. Satan's got it wanting. The Judaizers have it wanting. One final link. Someone close to the Lord. Someone who knew where he would be when he would be alone. Someone close enough to the Lord to lead them to him and betray him. That's all that was missing. They just needed somebody that would betray him. That's what they were missing. And now they found him. I'm not going to go into a full study of betrayal here, but please turn with me, if you will, to Luke 22. Luke 22. Verse 1. What you're getting ready to read occurs before our study in John 13. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. So this is before our night. Verse 2. This has been building for 3 years. For the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death. For they were afraid of the people. What that means is they were afraid the people might listen to him. It's going to reach a high with Caiaphas, the political religious leader. But I want you to note, this has been going on now. How can we get rid of him? Plotting and planning. People, this is the way conspirators do. This is the way people who want to take something down do it. They plan. They scheme. They work it out. They've got to get rid of it. But they've got to do it a certain way. They're afraid of the people here. So they got to do it in a way that they can handle the people, get their objective done. All these things are in play. This is the mind. One of the great little books years ago, I dare say most of you probably have not ever heard of it or read it, but there was a book called Dare to Treason. It was a great little book dealing with treason. Treason throughout history is an intriguing study. Okay, so this has been going on. They've got to get rid of this man Jesus, but they got to do it in a way where they take the people with them. Verse 3. And Satan, he's going to join them now. Satan joins the religious crowd in a conspiracy to murder Christ. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. So much is here. First of all, the great schemer Satan. He's looking, and he knows. Judas is the weak link. Why? He's the unbeliever. That doesn't mean there wouldn't have been a weak link. Like Peter was his weak link as a believer because he got Peter to deny. People, you got to appreciate Satan here tonight because he's having a great time here. He's got one of the 12 going to follow Christ. He's got another of the 12 that's going to deny Christ. Satan's feeling pretty good. Then he gets the trials going. He's just excited with all of his angels watching. Then he gets him crucified. And now he's really excited. And as the old story goes, then everything turned dark. And that's when Satan went, uh-oh. This isn't working. You're doing it to me again, God. You're doing it to me again. And that's what happened. But the seed, Satan that's planting, all he needs is the weak link. You've got to ask yourself, in your home, in your work, in your family, in your church, in your life, are you the weak link? Are you the one they would come to try to sell out? So here's what we have. So Satan entered into Judas, and he found the weak link, the unbeliever, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. That means he's in the inner core, the inner group. Scripture does not declare that Satan entered into the religious crowd.